That works. When we open a position, any position, we're trying to take the best that will do the job in that position. Though with the woke movement, we kind of try to choose, okay, it's that person is Asian, we're going to take it. But we should take the best. And we do that normally for position and for work and stuff like that. Now, what to govern, to be in position of power, to you need to be the best at what? Because that's what my specialty is. I'm a specialist in measurement. Measurement and evaluation. It's a master's degree in education. That's what I got. And so, well, you need a person that is understand problems. Yeah, I need to, you know, you need to, if you need to govern, you need to understand the problem that occurs in society. You need to be able to have the mind to understand. You have to have this ability. And you need to be able to imagine solution too. Not only understand them, but imagine what could do. But this requires knowledge too. Scientific knowledge. Because if you don't know anything, the solution you're going to find are not going to fit. So, but usually those who can understand problem very, very at a high level and imagine solution are already very knowledgeable. It goes, can see very, very highly correlated. So, by the way, I invented the correlation coefficient when I was studying in my master's degree, my first year. I published it on YouTube because I was too lazy to publish a paper. I just explained it on YouTube. So I get recognized one day if somebody, I agree with it. But anyway, I'm talking about correlation here. So that's what we should measure people on their degree of capacity of understanding problem, capacity of finding solution. And only those could be elected. They would be the electable. Like in hockey team, only those who have a high degree of hockey skill are electable to be part of that team. And somebody has money and you want to play hockey, and then I'm going to give you $1 million, but he's like an idiot to play hockey. So, everybody's going to laugh at our team if I were hiring you, right? That's what is happening with Biden right now. So, but anyway, so that's what we should have. Not a wild democracy, but a selective democracy. I mean, it's democratic in the sense that everybody that has those capacity, that have those capacity would be electable. No matter the race, no matter the religion, that would be democratic in that sense. And logical too. You don't put idiot in power. What is this? What's going on? You know? And, of course it has to be this way. But people are afraid of elitism. But that's what we have. We have financial elite. That controls it. But it's not necessarily correlated to doing good to people. We need an elite, but the right one, not another kind of elite that is not looking out for us. So we need an elite of the mind, capacity to understand problem, capacity of imagining solution, and there will be an election. So every part of any region, you have, I don't know, 20 people. And now people would vote which one is the, we like the most. So it'd be the most human among them. That's what happened. So we choose among the most capable people, we choose the most human one. People would vote, I like him. People can decide that. This, We could go further than that. We could decide to only those who have maybe 10% of those capacity could vote. So because they would select the best one, really, to make sure that the best one is selected, we could do that. Me personally, I would do a card, a voting card. And everybody would be evaluated on those tests, and they would have a score. And you vote. And if your score is high enough, your vote would count. If not, it would not count. People will not know. If they want to know, they would have to see a psychologist. Because people don't like to be told that they are not smart enough. Of course, I think this will be in the future, we're not ready now, because this idea is vilified. We're afraid of elites. Many people are afraid to know that other people are smarter than them. It's the most sensitive issue. The ego is very big in this world. We don't like to know that somebody is smarter than us. Especially in our group of tribe. Other people, we don't know, it's okay. But in our tribe, well, no, I'm the smarter. You know. So we have a problem with this, ego problem, so that's why it's going to be difficult to implement this. But it will save us. Look what Elon Musk is doing. I mean, he's a brilliant man. Because the thing is, it's not because he's brilliant, but it's both. He's brilliant and also he has a heart. He wants to do good for humanity. He wants to save it by creating, removing pollution by electric cars. If we destroy ourselves, we can go to Mars before that happens, you know. So he's trying to do good. But he is vilified normally because, you know, people don't like people who are smart or succeed or destroying their company if they are in oil or the normal car business. And those companies, they pay the media, so has been vilified a lot. But him and his friend geniuses, it is a train that is unstoppable right now. And they will succeed. And they will change the world. But they might bring this idea one day, because that's what they do in their company. They choose the best. They don't choose who has the most diplomas. They really choose the best. People who are not normal, they go outside of the trail, discovery, create things that are new. Inventors. That's the kind of people they want, and that's why they succeed. And the best people wants to work for them too. Because they know what the revolution is there. They're gonna build a robot. Now the September 30th, which is the anniversary of Ra'el. That probably not by accident, I don't know, but because the philosophy, the right philosophy, you know, we have to build robot to liberate the world from forced labor. And we can create a paradise on Earth by doing that. But we have to change the whole system. So people don't want to change. That's the problem. But that's why, you know, people change when they are in the shit and to the nose. When they can't breathe, now they want to change. That's probably what's going to happen. You know, we have to be in misery and now we accept the change. And it's probably how it's going to happen. But the robot, one of the solution, it's going to change completely the... People will want to have the right not to work, then to be free and do whatever they want. And it's like the Elohim planet. That's what they do. Everything is automated. Only some people are working to create the machine and stuff, the best, the geniuses. And they are remunerated by... Living eternally. So this is the there's no money in their world, but everybody wants to live eternally. So it's like the carrot in their world. Not everybody get it. But their normal life is 1,000 years. So it's not like 100 years. 1,000. It's a good It's a good spin. It's good. It's a good number. So, but to get eternal life, you need to do a lot to be at the service of the world and do a lot. And so only a few, you know, 700 are eternal over there. And so this is their motivation in the world. That's money.
Are there any examples of leaders across the world? It doesn't need to be in Canada or the U.S. who you think meet that criteria of being smart enough to run their governments?
No one. First of all, they would have to pass a test. Test of capacity, intellectual capacity to see if they meet the criteria. It's a minimum. The rest is human quality stuff can be voted, you know, by people. But you need to have this minimum, intellectual minimum to be sure that the person will understand the problem and find solutions. You know, we need to be sure of that. Otherwise, stupidity will happen. That's what happened. That's why we have war. You know? No. It's like the problems are insolvable. Of course, we have idiots in power. That's why it's insolvable and corrupted to the core. It's, you know. But I think if you put that kind of people in power, they will. Yeah, I think there is a correlation between this capacity and corruption. Inversely, inverse correlation. When you are, there is a level to which you reach, to which you cannot be corrupted. Because it doesn't make any sense. You see, so, of course below that you can. But at some point, I'm talking about the geniuses, you know, the top of the top. It's impossible to be corrupted. It would be insane. Because their value as a person is not based on money. It's based on what they can do for humanity. You see the difference? A lot of people, their value is based on how much money they have. I'm rich. I'm somebody. But when you are smart, you know that your value is your smart. You can do, you can help, you can bring something. It's not the money. It's, hey, I can create a rocket. This is their value. They can, hey, I can do this. It's nice. You know, that's not, I have $1 million. If you study Elon Musk, he doesn't care about the money at all because what he does has a lot more value than the money. He uses money as like a tool. It's a little tool. But a lot of people say, they are villains also because the movie, the villain is always the scientist, the mad scientist, you know. We are brainwashed with that. But in fact, it's the opposite. Who helped the most this world? They are the inventors. Inventors are always helping this world. They make our life easier. The washing machine, the automobile. The politicians are using those inventions to do wars, to do just little mind, egoist things. They are using by giving salary to the geniuses. See, yeah, the genius is not always cognizant of the whole game, especially if they have been passionate about something and they have worked all their life on something very focused. When they get old, they understand it, like Einstein, and, you know, helped to create the atomic bomb, but he regretted. A lot of scientists at the time regretted. They thought it would be they were convinced that would protect them and say, nobody's going to attack us if we have that bomb. That was the philosophy. when they saw Hiroshima and Nagasaki, they were just so depressed. It's terrible what we did. It seems genocide, killing old people, you know, young babies, mother, whole city disappearing. This is a crime. This is, we never apologize. There was a movie talking about, hey, the flag, American flags. Yeah, hey, we're proud America. And there was a movie and there was a call out and student. Yeah. American was so good. And the guy said, oh, so good. You think so? And now he put all of the facts together. No, we're not that good. We're kind of the villain. But the media and the government tried to convince otherwise. There's so much war. We have 400 bases. We try to control the world. And we say, of course, we're going to have war if we try to control the world. Nobody wants to be controlled. So, we vilify Russia, but Russia is just trying to defend itself against this invasion of NATO against its border. But now they have a coalition with China, and it's good. Otherwise, if the United States would have controlled the whole world, I don't know with those elites what they would do. Because they don't have good intention. Because we can see in this world, in society, we have a lot of misery. And they create misery on other people. I think they consider people like, how they call it, the pion in French. It could be the, like a chessboard, you know, the little piece on the checkboard.
A pawn.
A pawn, yeah. So people are pawns for them. That's why you don't care about the wars. You kill people. They want a country. They're going to kill everybody there. Or, you know, a lot of people just to get that control. They don't care about people. So, we don't see Russia have about 400 bases and China have 400 bases. They don't have the same, imperialist idea. Of course, China has its own problem because they don't have genocracy. And so when you don't have genocracy, you cannot resolve the problem entirely. but at least they don't try to invade the world like the US is doing, or the West, to control the whole world. And if they don't, you invade, you know, they find a reason and they invade. So, yeah. See, I don't find anybody in this. Well, I don't know that person. Maybe the media don't talk about that person if there is. You know, they asked Einstein to be president of Israel one day, and he refused. He refused. I guess he would have been killed at some point. So, yeah, so it's, but I have hope because, what, the media are spreading is the narrative of the government and also not, the positive one. You know, good news, peace, stuff. They don't show that. They don't show that. But it's not, you know, I consider the world like, you know, an avalanche. Before the avalanche, you have a lot of snow. You see the mountain, a lot of snow. Nothing happened. And then bang, suddenly, right? The avalanche. But if you could see through the snow and you could see the forces working on the structure of the snow itself, you could see an increase in downward forces and the resistance weakening in the lower part until it reaches a critical point and everything falls. So in the world, we don't see those structure, those forces that are for good. We don't see them because the media don't show that. So, but they are there. And worse it would be more energy will go towards the good to counterbalance the bad until a critical point when it will be so bad that there will be a big portion of the energy of the world going towards the good to change it. And the avalanche will occur. It will occur like the Berlin Wall. Quickly. So I believe in that. And the Iranians, they organize also every week meditation for peace in US, one for Canada, every country to meditate for peace. Because we do believe in telepathy. Telepathy is not something mysterious. It's like waveforms from the brain, and there is a communication happening. That's why in psychology we have clues that telepathy exists. We just don't have the physical substrate to explain it. What is the waveform that exists that the communication is possible? So we don't know that waveform. It's possible that the waveform is so is located in the infinity small. It's very small that we haven't discovered those waves yet. But it's like radio or television, the antennas, the satellite. There is a wave in between devices, and there's a decoder and coder, and we can code the information into the waves and decode this information and see the images and the audio. So same thing with the brain, except that the wave is unknown, probably too small in the microwave, and very fast. Faster than the speed of light. And because we believe the speed of light is a limit. When you understand that the universe is infinite, there cannot be a limit to speed. Because there are infinite level of matter inside the atoms, inside the electrons, inside the proton, and the quarks, and all of the particles. And you cannot find the smallest particle because you just cut in two. Yeah, it's too small. It's infinity everywhere. So everything vibrates at their level, and as you go into the infinity small, the vibration of those waveforms are smaller and faster. Very faster as you go. So there is no limit to speed. Because there is an infinite level of substrate and vibration into that substrate. And it goes to infinity, so it's faster and faster. The infinity small built our world, and we are building the infinity large. So it's probably one of those waves, and so we believe in telepathy. That means we a group of people, and it is revealing to this message from space that telepathy is like the prayer. People were praying; they were trying to communicate, and it's. It has been demonstrated with some studies when a group of people meditate for peace together, there's less crime during that time. So there's a correlation. They don't know how to explain it though. That's the problem. You know, and you need to have a biological explanation, a physical explanation, but it's a correlation. So, but it's, the Elohim is telling us that we can influence the world by sending thoughts and emotion through a group of people, which increase exponentially its power if you're a group. So that's why every Monday at 6 o'clock Pacific time, we, the whole United States of Radiance and people who believe in group telepathy influencing the world, we do that. That's one way. It's a little bit, just a little effort. And that's the only thing we can do, because what can we do, you know? That Maitreya Rao has proposed that. So we do this. There is a planetary meditation also that happens every quarter. It will happen soon, actually. So, yeah, so I don't think... what was your question? Tell us your question.
It was about other issues that have been on your mind.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Other issues, yeah. So, democracy. Yeah, so... And also, I'm very into electrification of transport. I bought a Tesla, so I'm part of the revolution. So, yeah, so that's going to remove pollution in cities. So it's a big, big gain. And people think, it's going to take more electricity. No, because you charge the car only at night. And not the whole car. Just the what you spend during the day and what you need the next day. I mean, if you drive 20 miles, you're going to charge for 20 miles. You're going to be all day. You charge for 5 hours. But the 110 plug, you know. Anyway, so that's things. Overpopulation. This is very important. And now I'm against Elon Musk's idea about that. There is a real problem of overpopulation because this planet is limited in resources, and a lot of people are in misery. So we should resolve that first before going to another planet. Resolve the problem we have here instead of exporting that to other world. And so that's why democracy is important. And once we have that, the problems will be resolved. So overpopulation is a big, big, big problem because we need more energy, more food, more this and more that. And right now we are too many. I mean, because half of the world, one third of the world is, not fed properly. So we should stop. Stay constant. But the problem is that the system we have doesn't allow that. We need to grow population so the system can work. And that's what Elon Musk is making a mistake. He's right if we keep the same system. But we need to stop population. It changes the system. So to stabilize population, stay constant. And there's a solution in the book. See, you know, you can, a woman could have the right to have only 2 children. And she would have to pass a test to see if she can be a good mother. She has to fit, like a driver license, you know. It's not a right to drive, it's a privilege. Same thing for to have a children. It should be a privilege. You don't allow a senile woman to have a child. I mean, this would be, it's criminal to do that. So it should, woman should, be trained and pass a test. And, they should have those who pass the test and the, judge they could be a good mother, good enough, you know. We decide the level, you know, according to psychologists and the genius one. And, you have a license, you have children, but only 2. Only 2 children. But you could give that, you could decide to, a woman could decide, I don't want children, I give my pass to another woman, and that woman could have 4. She could, you know, could have that, no matter the father. The father is not important, the mother, only 2 children. So that would stay, the population would stay constant. With 2 children, 2 parents, you know. 2 replace 2.
You've mentioned being responsible for a region of Raelians.
Yeah.
Was any of the programming interrupted by the pandemic? Was there anything that had to change?
Oh, yeah, because we used to do extra curriculum activity in Raelian women, like a go topless, you know. we created that movement. We had also, so Gotapest is like every once a year we gather and we, not a protest, but we go on the street, in the beach, and we have sign, and we have you can Google it, and we promote toplessness, right for a woman to be topless like man has, as men. So just not a force. People, a woman can decide if they want to. It'd be nice. Like in some region in the world, they can be topless, no problem. And in France, there's some beaches you can be topless, no problem with that. Of course, here there's Christian, and you know, they see, to see a breast is like a crime, you know. Well, babies suck the breast when they're born, and I mean, it's not a crime. It is, anyway, so we do that, but we couldn't do that. All of the protests, festivities in group were canceled. The city didn't allow that. So we were stopped from doing any gathering, big gathering in parks and stuff like that. So that blocked us. And the block bit, it was good at the time for them, you know, because they can control more the people. No protests, no, this is a way to control people more. I think the pandemic was a tool for the politician to, they like that. It went with their, what they like. You know, politicians, they don't like protests against the policy. So by stopping protests and gathering and, they could control that. We stopped, from doing that. And also our seminars, you know, group of writing together, we couldn't do that. We have a planetary, gathering in Okinawa where Metro Rail reside, and we couldn't do it. So now we plan to have one in 2023 in December, planetary one. So there will be a lot of people because we haven't had one for a long time. So we had Zoom meeting instead. Yeah, but it was not, you know, writers are IP by nature. They want to always be positive. They have positive attitude we couldn't do gatherings like we used to on a small one.
What does the word health mean to you?
Well, there's a mental health and the physical health. Both are very important. They influence each other. Mental health is more important because it will influence the physical health. Many people are only focused on the physical health and they are stressed and the stress will destroy their health, you know. So if you learn how to be, we meditate, right? The writing meditate. I learned meditation meditation from hunting. And naturally, that's it. People would not understand this, but it's the best Zen exercise you can have. Especially grouse hunting, what I use, I love, because I'm a thinker. I was always thinking all the time. I couldn't stop thinking because I have pleasure to think. But I love hunting too, but hunting you cannot think. You have to stop thinking completely. You have to feel the woods, listen, see, smell, and try to feel the animals. Where are they? You have to, it's a sensual activity. Sensual meaning sensorial. The pleasure to be connected to your environment. So at the beginning, it was hard, like hell. I was always thinking, stop thinking, because I was missing, you know, the birds were flying all around and I was startled by them. And I was forcing myself to stop thinking. So and you have to do that the whole day. It's not like a little 30-minute Zen exercise you see in the park with people. No, you do that whole day and you walk and you just try to not think. Oh, you think a little bit here and there. You say, okay, I'm going to do that trail, you know, but mostly you try to feel. And after years of doing that, I succeeded to balance myself and to be able to stop thinking, to control that. And in the right movement, it's also taught to be able to balance yourself, not always thinking, but also stop thinking, relax your brain, just connect to your senses. Your senses is getting information. And if you're always thinking, you don't get more information. It's like you had enough information and now you just keep going with this information. But sensorial information is important for enriching the brain. Because this is what connects you to the universe around you. So when I became writing, it is part of it. You know, so I feel, yeah, I was doing, naturally, I was kind of going that direction too. So meditating is to be conscious of inside what you have and outside. And also, when I became writing, I was in psychology also. I went to study in psychology. Why? Because psychology always passioned me. Understanding the mind of people. Why do you do this? Why have this emotion? Why? What's going on? And by trying to go into the rabbit hole into that, I realized that it was simple, in fact. It was just, but many people thought I was crazy at the time. Even in the right movement, it was not clear as it was, but it became clearer, like what I understood in the right movement went into the same direction, like, and what I understood is the perception is creating the emotion, what you perceive. You have an example, for example, if you are on a bus and you hold the little thing and somebody hit you in the back, you're angry, you know, how come somebody, you know, doesn't take care of getting his position. And so you look at this blind person and now from angry, you become, you have a pity for that person. So how come you change emotion? It's the same event. The same event caused two different reactions because you had two different perceptions. First, you thought it was not fair that somebody hit you. That person is not sitting, is not doing the right thing in the bus. And when you turn, you see it's a blind person. Oh, you know, she's handicapped. That's, can happen, you know. So now you have pity. So everything is perception. So thinking positively, seeing positive thing instead of judging, and if everything is unfair, you're going to be angry all the time. But if you understand the world, that's normal if something happened like that. Like Bill Burr, you know Bill Burr? He's a comedian, a monologue comedian, and he's an angry man, but he's working on it. And it's exactly what he's doing now, because he's driving and somebody's very slow, you know. It's very slow. And now after that, he's angry now. Now he's thinking, maybe he has a bad day. you know. Maybe he's discussing with his wife and he's a little bit busy talking, and so he slowed down. So he tried to understand what happened in the, be empathetic to the other person. That sometimes himself is slow. Sometimes himself is slow, like, sometimes I'm slow because I do this. So yeah, maybe that's what's happening to other person. So anger disappears. And harmony comes back. So that's how you change your emotion. By trying to use your mind, your intelligence and your imagination to perceive event in a way that will be positive. Even the death of a person, you can see positively. Anything, you can see the positive in it. Of course, you can cry at the beginning, but after that, you modify your perception or you change it. You can have a first reaction because you have reflexes, a perceptive reflexes, perception that is ingrained, a program in your brain that is automatic. And to change that, you need to be persistent, to always create a new perception. And so you're going to change your, as you go, you're going to modify your connection in your brain and change them. And one day you're going to be reacting completely differently. You're going to be a different person, but you need to be persistent into thinking differently. So we teach that in the RAIN movement to how to be positive and understanding. And so you become happier more often and stay stable in terms of happiness. And so I understood that early on and I worked on it and it helped me. I was a very jealous person in the beginning and I modified that. And maybe lost 80% of that.
What does the word safety mean to you?
And also physical health, so, you know, organic and eating, you know, chemicals are bad for your body. And, not drink too much alcohol and, you know, not smoke. I stopped smoking when I became Ryan. And so it's an important thing physically too, you know. So, yeah, so now I'm done. It's easier physically to resolve this than mentally. Mental health is difficult, more difficult than the physical.
What does the word safety mean to you?
Safety can be an handicap. Like, think about Howard Hughes. Safety was very important for him. He was locked in his room at the end. He would put himself in a prison. It can become irrational. Safety, it has to be balanced because one needs to take risk to live a life. If you don't want to take risk, you don't have any freedom. You put yourself in a prison. Of course, there are reasonable risk, and so it depends of the intelligence you have and the knowledge you have. You know, somebody that killed, that believes that COVID is gonna kill them if they get it. Of course, it's gonna be like closed. I mean, it's gonna wear a mask in the car. Or wear a mask in the countryside when they are alone. And, or just, imprison themselves in their house and not getting out. Safety can be a prison if you are not knowledgeable enough and rational enough to understand the risk or what is of the information giving to you. And that's what the media and the government are responsible of the information that was given to us, and bad information can make people act in a way that will be against their freedom, because they think it's a good thing to do, the right thing to do, because they are misinformed and they don't know how to get informed. So there is a balance. Freedom is very important. It's a balance between freedom and safety. It needs to be reasonable. What happened was not reasonable. We were misinformed. And that helped the government to continue what it was doing. So yeah, I prefer to be free than too safe. I prefer freedom, but to a reasonable point, you know. Of course, I'm not going to jump off a cliff just to feel the sensation of falling and I'm free and I'm going to die, you know. So I know I'm going to die. So there is a rational to everything we do. You need to be rational enough. So you need to balance the risk. But you need to be informed for that. So you need to get the information where it's a good information. The problem with that society is that we were misinformed. But for me personally, I went into the rabbit hole and I got the right information. So, but of course I was blocked by the rules in society, forced to wear a mask, stupid mask that the virus can go through easy because it's not the fiber are not thin enough. And, and also difficulty to travel. So it was forced on me, but, I was free to not take the vaccine. They almost succeeded to force it on people though. But, I went around it. At the time I was still working, and so I work from home, so no problem for me. And but I wasn't afraid to see my friends, and you know, because we had the same philosophy. So
were there any safety precautions around COVID that felt reasonable to you?
Like anything, like any precaution, like a cold, you know. Yes, somebody that has a cold, say, okay, stay home, and, you know, I don't want to catch a cold. Same thing. So everything outside that is too much. Of course, you need to protect the old people that can get cold and die from it. Same thing. And so if you have a cold, if you have symptoms, stay home. But if you don't have symptoms, you cannot propagate the virus. But they make you believe that you could. That was not true. It's important to have the right information. And also, you need to have a good sleep. You know, because if you don't have a good sleep, that's how people get the virus. That's how I get it. That's Joe Rogan was talking. All of his friends that got COVID, they were traveling and not sleeping well. And I know it, because when I don't sleep, at some point I start to feel tickle in my throat. And when I go too late, that means the immune system starts stopping working. And so the virus start taking over. So that's so it's very obvious to me. And so yeah, to take some precaution. You don't want to have the flu for a week anyway. So COVID was a little bit more strong. And you could die from it if you don't take your precaution. But there were treatment, but they were vilified. You had to be very informed. Yeah, I have ivermectin here, just in case. But I think I'm immune already because I got, I think I got COVID. I cannot prove it, but I think according to what I felt from my body, I think that was COVID. And because it was different, quite different. And so I was immune naturally. So I was positive about that. But I have ivermectin here, so can take it if I need it. Vitamin C and D, and that's enough. Can, in France, you got that 97% success with the treatment. And Didier Raoul is one of the top virologists in the world. And yeah.
Was it easy for you to get the ivermectin?
You have to search it, but I got it. Yeah, you have to kind of, you know, Google it enough to find a place so you can buy it.
How are you feeling about the immediate future?
The immediate future. I'm always positive, even if it's going to go bad. Actually, worse is going to be, closer we're going to be to the resolution. Because as I said, people move when they are in big shit. When they are in the mud until the nose. Now they resist and they fight to get out. And so when I see the world going in a bad direction and worse and misery, I say, okay, we're getting close. We're going to close. It's going to explode at some point. And it's like what happened after the Second World War. There was people wanted so much peace. And there was so much love around the world. It's ending and people were celebrating and they created the United Nations and I don't know if they created it, but they fortified it. And not to never happen again. So I predict there will be a war, a big war, I think. Especially Israel and Iran. We already know from the UN that Israel will no longer exist. So a war will happen sometime. They removed their protection to Israel. The UN were protected Israel, but they no longer do it. So there will be big things happening. That's why they say to the Israelis that are in Israel to leave Israel. Because of the Palestinian conflict. Well, you don't know about the Iranians, but they want the embassy to be near Jerusalem. We're building an embassy, as you know, so. And when they saw what the Israelis government was doing to the Palestinians, which are Jewish too, but they were converted by force by Muslim. But they have, genetically, they are Jews too. Anyway, they wanted their embassy to be built near Jerusalem. And when they saw that, they removed their protection to Israel. And they say, what you do is horrible. And Israel was created to get the embassy, and we were hoping that he would integrate with the Palestinians as a big family, and you did the opposite, so we don't deserve our protection anymore. And because of that, Israel will disappear, and Palestine will be reborn. And the embassy will be there. So that was predicted 10 years ago.
What are some of your hopes for a longer-term future?
So the short term is that it will be bad. The longer term, after bad thing happen, the world will be thirsty of peace. And there will be a renewal towards the good. And all of the nefarious things that the government would have done will be revealed. And the embassy will be built. And the Elohim will land. And now the world will realize that what the truth is. And they will read the message of the Elohim. And then the message are a suggestion how to build this world. Genocracy, humanitarianism, all of the suggestion that to make a better world. And that's what we're going to start. The world will start to follow this guidance. And also the Elohim will give us some secret, technological secret, probably elonging the life to 1,000 years. We'll be able to live 1,000 years. And they will give us technology to create a paradise on Earth. But gradually, little by little, to see what we do with it. So it will be a completely different world. Yeah, so I think it's going to happen in 10 years. I mean, 10 years. I mean, the embassy built in 10 years, so they'll land not too long after that.
When you've needed support over the pandemic, who have you turned to? Who is supportive of you when you're stressed?
Myself. I have the two of two.
The ways you can.
Well, I have friends who can talk, but I already know the tool to, because I'm positive, you know, I learned the tools to get into positive mode. And so I switched my mind to finding the way to see positive, and it happens. So I don't need somebody to tell me. This is, I know the trick, but I have friends and we got together and, you know, but, I'm rather helping others, I would say, to find the positive in things. I'm the one who people will call to help them. So, and my wife and I, we talk, and so, what people I turn to, that's what you question. So it's, yeah, I have the tool to help myself, but I help other people. mostly. And Maitreya is always posting on Facebook and stuff. And you know, there's always a nice philosophy that he posts, reminding us, you know, what is positive in this world.
What are some of the things you do to take care of yourself?
Meditating, drinking a lot of water, fasting, trying to lose weight. I like to eat, but yeah, I need to lose weight. Difficult. Now I'm going to fast this week. So fasting is one of the best tools to have the body cure itself. Because when you fast, there are little robots that goes along. Nanotechnology, you know. It's in the body. It goes around the DNA and repair the nucleotide, the DNA base. And it's a way of cleaning the body. Because when you eat, it's busy to digest and store the food. And so this is the main priority. When we don't need, when you don't eat, the body goes into a cleaning mode. But you need to drink a lot of water. And so that's what I do to take care of myself. Also meditating, breathing a lot in the morning to get oxygen to my brain. Sometimes I'm forgetful. I'm 67 now. So I'm forgetful, but yeah, trying to do that. Also, I'm an outdoor man. I do a lot of sport, scuba diving, bicycling, kayaking. Like, I just went to Catalina Island with my wife, kayaking a lot, and also snorkeling. So jogging also to be in shape. I do some weight.
What do you think scholars in the humanities and the social sciences, so disciplines like literature and sociology and poli-sci, what should we be doing to help us understand the human experience of the last couple years?
Tell the truth. Find the truth first. You need to really find the truth, because everybody has been, I would say, they were submitted to false information. So everybody needs to go into a rabbit hole and find the truth and spread it. Just spread it. Information. Right now, the priority is to get the right information to as most people as possible. People need to know what happened, what is real. First, this is a priority.
I'd like you to imagine speaking to a historian in the future, someone listening to this who is far enough away that they have no lived experience of this pandemic. What would you tell them cannot be forgotten about this experience?
I would say, what happened was an effort from the government to control the media. They succeeded to brainwash people, to remove their freedom, to censor the different voices. And it become like almost a dictature. It become a dictature almost. And we're losing freedom exponentially. And it's a very, very, we were in that direction right now. And it's important we change course. And so I don't know what would be the outcome. But I am hopeful that the outcome would be a revolution. I'm not talking about, you know, insurrection. I'm talking about a revolution. Like what happened in Soviet Union about the strike, where there was a revolution in terms of, we want to know the truth, because there was a lot of propaganda in Soviet Union. And Gorbachev brought that revolution to tell the truth. What is really happening, right? And there was a revolution and the wall fell. So something must happen now, and it didn't happen yet. So we are on the verge of, or either become completely controlled by the government, or changing it. We are just at that fork. And it's very important we get the right one. And people don't know it because they were misinformed. But it is very, very important that this information get known so we are able to make the change. And of course, people struggled. Me personally, it takes a lot to struggle. But I can see the struggle in other people. But I can see also how brainwashed they were, believing they were doing the right thing. But they were removing freedom from other people, like it happened in Nazi Germany. Hey, he's Jewish! Hey, he's Jewish! Take them away! Today's, hey, he doesn't have a mask! Hey, he's not vaccinated! You know? We are at that phase. Now today, it's just a little bit relaxed, because the internet is here, and even though there were censors, there was a lot of, I would say, there was a proportion of good informer that are gaining. But I'm afraid there would be a censor too. So, we are right in the middle of it. And I have hope. I have hope. It's in my DNA.
I want to thank you so much for the generosity of your time and the thoughtfulness of your answers. Those are all of the questions I know how to ask right now. But if there's anything you'd like to share that my questions haven't made room for, please take some space and share it.
Nothing comes to mind. I think I said a lot. More than I thought that I would.